DYK and Tail Salon TV, and today I'm joined by amazing guest, Mr. Tern Killam. How you doing today?
I am wonderful, D. How are you?
Big fan. Loves you on Saturday Night Live.
Thank you very much. Kind of you to say.
Saw an interview of you recently talking about how you felt when Trump was coming in to host a show, and you were kind of like at the head of that pushback. Are you really good with the way they've been resisting and trolling his presidency?
I will be honest. I have not kept up with the show. So I would not say that I am enough of an expert on that. I think that they're all doing the best they can. You know, the people that work on that show, cast, writers, crew, are all wonderful, good people, and I do think that there were better ways about handling his candidacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the story right now. And SNL always sort of follows whatever the story is.
Yeah, but, you know, we're not going to talk about him too much. Just wanted to get that guy out of the way.
Sure.
I thought it was cool. But we're here to talk about Night School.
Yes, sir.
It was a great film. It was
Thanks, really funny. Thank you.
I read an article that said you were a confirmed nerd.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yeah, I'm pretty nerdy.
So you get to be pretty nerdy in Night School.
I sure do.
How was your high school experience? Was it similar or?
So I play Stuart in Night School, who is like the ultimate nerd and kind of like a nerd jerk, right? You know, like those mean nerds, mm-hmm. which is a thing now, more frequent, I feel like.
The ones who like flash their test scores around.
Just mean nerd, yeah, just holier than thou, I know more than you. And is super uptight and real axe to grind. I wasn't like that in high school. When I was in high school, I was at an arts high school.
Oh.
So it was easy to be a nerd and cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was doing theater and like Suzuki Japanese dance body training, sort of theater theatrical studies.
You use that now, right?
I do. Yeah. Most of my SNL sketches are just always focused in sending the energy into the ground.
But your character in Night School reminds me of like why guys become police officers. You get picked on,
intoxicated to the power,
right.
like want to be in that. Yeah. That position of authority, because they know outside of it, no one will care what they say.
Right. So how do you feel about that with people who have that type of mentality in real life?
In real life, yeah, it's incredibly irritating.
Yeah.
It's obnoxious.
And the guy's always like a shift leader.
It's 100%, yeah. Do you know what movie I just watched? I just watched Super Troopers 2.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Super Troopers 2? So Farva is like very much like, yeah, like he's real cocky. Stuart is more, I think Stuart, his conscious intention is to be good,
mm-hmm.
but I think subconsciously, yeah, he's got a lot to prove.
Yeah, the funny thing about him was, and we're not going to give away too much of the film.
Sure.
But
when he dies at the end.
No, he at the end, he doesn't die.
Or does he?
He finds Jesus.
You got to go. Yeah. Exactly, he's born again.
I like, you know, the Joe Clark angle.
When I was a little kid,
you know, I was part of a group of troubled kids, and You know, nowadays you get counselors, you get 17 mentors, you get youth programs. When I was a kid and you were a bad kid, they used to take us to prison and let us meet real inmates.
Scare you straight. Yeah.
And then they would like make us watch Lean on Me. So it was like, you know, this kid, this is what you look like.
Yeah.
And this is what, you know, you could be Joe Clark. But your character took it to a different level.
Yeah, he looked beyond race. He emulates Joe Clark. I think he sees Joe Clark and the film Lean on Me as sort of his Bible, his sort of playbook to go to, and carries around the bat. And Kevin threw out a funny thing I believe is still in the movie, where the quote of they used to call me Batman.
it's a classic. It's a great film.
I
think
I love that
movie. I think people are gonna enjoy this film a lot. How was it working
Thank
with
you?
How was it being on set with you?
Yeah.
Kevin Hart
and
Tiffany Haddish, amongst other people at the same time.
Very fun. As fun as you think it would be, and probably a little bit more. Because what's great about Kevin, as funny as he is, as hardworking as he is, he's incredibly generous, too, and was always making time to go out of his way and spend time with the cast and just, you know, be sociable between takes. And Tiffany's one of the most impressive people I've ever met. There's nobody who is as effortlessly funny, and just true to herself. There's just a really refreshing groundedness and honesty about her. And yeah, we just all really got along. We had so much fun filming.
How do you even like write for that many people? I seem like there was like a lot of ad-libbing going on, or a lot of improv.
Yeah, improv was definitely encouraged by Malcolm, our director, Malcolm D. Lee, and Kevin works well within that, is good to be loose, and Tiffany as well. Tiffany, they got a lot of heavy hitters. Outside of the three of us, it was also Romney Malco and Marilyn Rice Cub and Rob Riggle and Al Madrigal, who are all brilliant comedians in their own right. So it was a good team, a good squad.
So how did you study, or what did you have to do to learn your black voice?
I don't have a black voice.
In the film,
there's what you mean.
It's in the preview. It's in the preview. It's in the preview.
I don't think it's a black voice.
Are you a method actor? Did you have to speak in that voice for Did you have to speak in that voice for like 2 weeks?
Where do I pull it from? Gosh, you know, like it's the deep. It's this that I really enjoyed doing. You know what I mean? This is my house.
I don't hear color.
I don't hear color.
No, it was. I think it was hilarious. I think people are really going to enjoy the film. When can everyone see it?
It's out Friday, September 28th, in theaters everywhere.
Great, great, great. So another project that you're working on is Single Parents. Mm-hmm. How did that come about?
I moved to Los Angeles from New York a little over a year ago and was looking to find a new TV show, a new project to do, and just and was sort of taking general meetings and then developing something on my own. And then I met with Liz Merriweather, who created New Girl, and I'd done a guest spot on her show. Mm-hmm. And she said, we're working on this project with J.J. Philbin, whose name I knew because she used to work at SNL. About single parents. And as soon as I said single parents, I said, that sounds awesome. That sounds like a great concept. And please let me read it when it's done. And me showing that interest was enough for them to kind of write the character of Will Cooper to my voice and my strengths.
So who is Will?
Will Cooper is a former weather researcher, now stay-at-home satellite weather researcher, single father.
It's my old job.
Is that really?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, exactly. Very relatable. He's a single father who is in what we call in the show the vortex. Mm-hmm. He's lost all sense of his self as an individual, as an adult man. He's putting all of his effort and energy and consciousness and love into his daughter because he's a really great dad. But that's the only thing that defines him at the point where the show starts.
That could backfire too, right? I feel like Joe Jackson did that.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I like to think Will Cooper dads with a softer hand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's not as many belts in Will Cooper's wardrobe. But yeah, I think it can backfire for the parent. I think it can backfire for the kid too. Mm. And so we meet this group of single parents who have already sort of established their group dynamic and look out for each other and help care for each other's kids, and they sort of welcome Will in hesitantly to remind him that it's important to have interests of his own.
Yeah, I think it's extremely hard to identify that balance, and some people don't get it because when you have a kid, I mean, it does, you know, become all about the kid.
Yes, your priorities shift immediately. I find that your perspective changes. Mine did, certainly, like having my first child, realizing that my parents were people before they were my parents. You know, I think you spend your childhood seeing your parents as your parents. To me, I would rather be someone like Will Cooper, who is giving his all morning, noon, and night to his child and only wants the best for his child to succeed. I think that can go too far, but it's certainly better to the alternative, which is not being there enough.
Now that you put it like that, kids are little assholes. Because when I was a kid, I remember seeing one of my teachers outside of school, and it blew my mind. Why are you at a restaurant?
Why do you not exist
dinner?
In my convenience?
Yeah, where's your chalk? Yeah. You got a boyfriend? who approved this? Wow, and you never really think about it like that. So, how close is Will Cooper to you in real life?
Yeah, he looks a lot like me.
Oh my God, spitting image.
Spitting it, like literally, I don't know which one to shoot. Yeah, there's a lot of me. I like to think that I'm an optimist and that I'm full of energy and that I love my children. I certainly can relate in that sense, but I also like things just for me, you know. Mm-hmm. I just started Oculus Rift. Have you played that?
No, what is that?
Oculus Rift is the virtual reality for like PC consoles. It's incredible.
Do I go to the store and buy it?
It's a full like racket.
Okay.
Because they just put out Oculus Rift VR for Marvel. It's called like Marvel Powers United. And I was like, oh yeah, great, I'll buy that. And you get it, mm-hmm. and you're like, great, hook it up to your PC. I was like, I don't have a PC.
Yeah.
So I had to get the console, and I had to get a screen. It's a whole thing.
It sounds like a Saturday, like
it
a production.
It was 3 days. Because once you get the software, you have to upload everything. It takes forever. But once you're in the Rift, you're free.
Tell me about your comic book.
My comic book is called The Illegitimates. And it's a comic that I wrote with Mark Andreyko. And it came out, I think, about 3 or 4 years ago now. And it was an idea I had for a long time. I grew up loving James Bond movies, especially the Sean Connery ones. And just always found it funny that at the end of every movie, you leave him with a different girl in some risque mm-hmm. position, but you never see the follow-up to that.
Right.
So The Illegitimates is about these 5 kids who find out that they're all the bastard children of the world's greatest super spy.
Oh, my God. Yeah, James Bond seems like he could make not raising your kids look cool.
Yeah,
he's like the only guy that can do it.
Exactly.
But does he like leave them money, or does he leave them anything other than tuxedos? And
yeah, we get to that in the comic. But yeah, exactly. Well, I think his gift to them is saving the world on like a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. That's a good gift. Yeah.
So as an actor and as an extremely funny person, do you ever feel like your political views and things like that have to make it into your work, or do you feel like they make it into your work, or do you try to keep those worlds completely separate?
It's a very interesting question.
Because Will Cooper seems like he voted for Jill Stein.
Yeah, I think Will Cooper is too focused on like the superintendent board vote to even know what's going on.
Local politics
exactly,
first.
Exactly. It's an interesting thing of being having a public position, having a public career where people follow you and you build up a following and fans, and that's a lovely thing, and that begets more work, because the more that people enjoy what you do, you get to do more of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you never stop being a human being.
Right.
And I think, you know, the whole idea of stick to comedy or stick to basketball
shut up and make me laugh
is all yeah is so flawed in a very sort of common sense way, but we are really living in an era void of common sense, mm-hmm. in my opinion. So I don't make a concerted effort to blend the two.
Mm-hmm.
I try to remain conscious of how both may affect each other, but not necessarily letting that limit my expression as an American citizen or my expression as an artist.
So my thing is like, how can you tell a person to shut up and dribble or shut up and be an entertainer when you're not gonna tell them shut up and you don't have to pay taxes?
Right, 100%. Yeah.
So you still have to deal with society. You have to live here, you have to raise a family here, you have to make sure that everything is being done to make sure your family is having the life they deserve and that we're holding public figures accountable. I don't understand that. And then, Laura Ingraham, who said that, is it a Trumper? I don't know what I would call her.
Sure.
A Trump minion, I guess.
Cruel.
But, you know, yeah. So, you know, but she's in entertainment. So you're in entertainment, mm-hmm. and you get to mm-hmm. have an opinion. Why wouldn't somebody else?
It, for sure. It is counterintuitive to the American dream. The American dream states that if you're willing to work hard enough, you can create anything, you can create any situation for yourself. Mm-hmm. So the idea of limiting anybody to anything, like saying shut up to people is not nice, ever.
At all.
And then I think it speaks a lot, particularly to her character, but to people who subscribe to the idea of stay out of this, that's not your place in general. I think it speaks to a very antiquated, ignorant, and limited view of the human experience.
Exactly. So speaking of that dream, what's like your dream role? Who do you want to play? Or what would you construct,
yes.
you know?
Like movie, TV,
movie,
anything.
Movie, TV, the perfect, you know.
I want to be in a Marvel movie called Rick Jones, which is about Rick Jones, who is the sidekick to Hulk when Hulk becomes Hulk, and then he became the sidekick to Captain America, and then he became the sidekick to Captain Marvel.
And was that like a... Like, he has a resume? Did they, like, look for him? Was he, he's, like, a...
So with Hulk, he's just the kid who's hot-rodding in the desert when the bomb goes off. And mm-hmm. Dr. Banner runs out to save him. And Rick, he saves Rick's life, and Rick watches him become Hulk, and then he follows him around for 2 years going, like, hey, Dr. Banner, no, they're robbing the bank. You gotta turn into Hulk. So I like the idea of playing Rick Jones after the fact of being the sidekick to all these superheroes. Nobody knows who he is, and all he wants is to have a successful music career.
Yeah, Rick, you know, it's crazy. No one gives Rick Jones any love.
There's no Rick Jones love?
Yeah. He's hiding behind the curtains of superhero history.
Yeah, he's always a bridesmaid, never a bride kind of thing. He was there for all these major events, but doesn't get any of the credit.
So how would you do it, though? Would it be like Rick Jones works on the memoir and he's trying to sell a book to, like, Simon & Schuster?
That's what he did in the comic. In my movie, he now has a one-man storytelling musical variety show in Las Vegas.
Okay.
Where he sings original songs about his time fighting with the Avengers.
But when he gets popular and people know it's him and they know that he had these connections to all these famous people,
yeah.
a supervillain would just come to the show and kill him.
Right. That's a real conflict. And my last name.
Yeah, so tell us, what's next for you?
I'm going to hopefully keep making Single Parents. I'm very excited about that. And that debuts September 26th, 9:30. And then Night School comes out 2 days later. And hopefully breaks the box office. And you'll be seeing Rick Jones in theaters in a year and a half.
Looking forward to you. Thank you for coming on.
T, thank you so much. Pleasure, man.
Great.